Happy to see that Andy is in one piece after last week's Tampano B show.
I told him that he was in my thoughts and prayers after the game last week.
Your thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, you know, being the referee is okay. Yeah. No one touches the ref, you know?
That's not always the case.
Well, they're not supposed to, at least.
I heard you on the air, but I didn't know if you were in a full body cast or...
No. See, what I like to do is I just like to dangle the meat and leave the room.
Yeah.
And then come back and then
I kind of suspected that might be the case. You ask a provocative question.
And then bail.
I didn't know you actually left the room. I just figured you cowered in a corner or hid under the table.
Yeah, you know that that board you're working at right now? Yeah, that's my hiding spot.
Yeah, there's plenty of room. Yeah. You can get 4 or 5 guys under this table.
Yep.
Not that I know that from personal experience. But Tampano B again. Is it more scary when they're mad?
No.
Or
no. It's not scary at all. See, the problem
Andy,
is...
Andy, don't ruin the... We want to make it sound like it's a, you know, jungle in here.
All right, take two. It's really scary. I mean, I need to call in reinforcements from the building
Andy
security.
Clearly did not read his Tampano B memo that we
It does, you know, rattle the nerves a little bit. I can't lie to you. I have PTSD every once in a while when I go home.
There you go. Yep.
But that's okay.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
And it all starts at 11 o'clock again this morning.
That is correct. Should be an interesting game today.
Yeah.
Should be an interesting game.
Shawnee, you and I should. They go in the conference room. They do the pre-game show. And then they go into the conference room where there's this gigantic TV.
It's a huge TV.
And then they get fed.
Oh, that's a movie screen TV.
Yeah, yeah, it's like going to the IMAX theater.
Right.
Almost. Yeah.
And then they get all kinds of food.
Oh yeah.
I've been there for that.
Yeah.
I've been there for the feast.
It's a nice feast. It's
delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should stay and do that. We should stay. You know, we should do a documentary.
I think you should.
We should do a Tampano B behind-the-scenes documentary of what goes on behind the scenes in the madness.
It was funny. Last, I think it was Christmas Eve, there was a game, and my wife came in to watch with us.
Mm-mm.
And it was hilarious. She loved every minute of it. Because the guys are real. None of that stuff you hear is phony. I mean, this is real stuff.
Yep.
I mean, they bleed for the Bears, and, you know, they have bled for the Bears on numerous
Literally,
occasions.
Yes.
Exactly, on the field. So whatever they're saying, I mean, this is not contrived or just try to be angry. I mean, this is genuine emotion coming out.
Yep. If I was going to ask OB2 what he's looking forward to today.
Yeah.
Shawnee?
What was he?
That's you, OB2.
Yeah, okay.
That's you when you're doing your OB impersonation.
What are you looking forward to? I know what I'm looking forward to. A win.
Really, a win?
They got to get out there and do it.
Have you ever done your OB impersonation for OB?
No.
Oh, today could be
no.
the day.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Today could be the day for
no.
that.
So
you got to do it pregame.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Got to do it for OB today.
Uh-huh.
So now be listening at 11 for that. You know, I could lose my DJ license if I didn't play some sort of rain-related song on a morning like this. It is required by DJ Law, which was my DJ name. DJ Law with you, man.
Hey.
Back in the day. 20, do you recognize this voice on this song?
Yeah, I do, but I can't place it. And I know for sure it's not the version by the Cascades.
No, that's the original version of this song. I love this version by Peoria's own Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, it's Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah,
it
sounded like him.
Yeah.
Dan Fogelberg.
The leader of the band.
You know, he was only 56 when he died?
Mm. Wow. Yeah, he was not old at all.
Prostate cancer. I've got a whole bunch of nice rain songs for you today.
Here
That's
comes
pretty much
the
with
rain
yeah.
again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Falling
to
the dumb.
Yeah. That's pretty much the whole content for the show today.
Nice.
Well, we do have a flash flood warning until 2 for Cook and DuPage counties. We had an advisory that ended at 9, and then there's a special marine warning also that typically is issued along with those for
just for Marines?
Just for Marines, you know, being on the water. Winthrop Harbor up to Wilmette.
Now, what does that mean, a marine warning?
Marine warning means
stay off your
boats. If you're not on the boat, don't go out there because, you know, there's very high
winds
and
the weather's starting getting rough.
Swells.
The tiny ship could
was
be
tossed. Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So that's what that means. So, you know, best to stay ashore.
It's terrible. I mean, it was pouring, torrential.
It hadn't started yet when I came in
earlier.
But yeah, it started around here around 5:30 or 6 and is persisting. It is going to move away, though, later this afternoon.
Yeah. It's raining cats and dogs. I know because...
You've seen cats and dogs falling out of the window there?
No, can I finish the joke, please?
Yes.
Please.
This was my big headliner joke back in third grade. I may call John Williams during speed jokes for this. This is such a good joke. Schwani, it was raining cats and dogs when I came in today.
Oh?
I know because I stepped in a poodle.
Oh! That is a speed joke. That is a perfect speed joke.
That joke killed when I was in third grade.
And then they sent you out in the hall.
And then where I spent most of my grade school
Fourth
career.
Fourth grade, that was me.
Out in the hall.
In the hall.
Out in the hallway. Sometimes with gum on my nose. Did you ever have that?
Gum on the nose?
Yeah, if the teacher, and I had one particularly maniacal teacher, sixth grade teacher. Should I say her name?
Sure. You can if you want to.
She's passed away now. I guess it's okay. Should I? Or a little embarrassed? Might embarrass her family.
The family, yeah.
There's no point except just to be a jerk, so I won't for a change. My sixth grade teacher would, if she caught you chewing gum.
Oh, we were in trouble.
She made you put the gum on your nose.
On your nose?
Yeah.
I think there was something like that. Although I cooperated. I didn't chew gum as a rule. Well, I had braces on my teeth in fifth grade.
I didn't chew gum. I followed all the rules.
No, I was a good boy.
I was nothing but trouble. My dad spent more time in that school office than I did.
Called off work early to go in.
I had four brothers. My dad spent more time in that school office. He knew them all by first name. Yeah, we were not the easiest kids to.
Yes,
the secretary at the door. Oh, good morning, sir.
Hi, Sam.
The principal is waiting for you. Go right on in.
Yeah, hi, Sam. Yeah, we've got your office ready for my dad had an office.
Nice.
He had his own office at school. He was there so much.
I couldn't get in trouble in school.
Talk about working
your
remotely.
Mom, right?
My mom taught at the same school that I went to.
See, that's.
And the weirdest thing was coming home every once in a while in the summertime and seeing your teacher sitting there on the dinner table with your parents.
Oh,
like, oh come on, man. Really?
Good.
I got to deal with these people here, too, now?
That's rough.
But, yeah, anything I did at school got back to her in like 10 seconds.
In a second, yeah.
That's not good. That's not good.
So I learned early just to be good.
I did pretty much whatever I wanted. The highlight of my grade school career is when we got a hold of the teacher's home phone numbers.
Oh, yes.
And we called with phony, you know, fake phone calls. Is Prince Albert in the can? Is your refrigerator
running?
Your greatest hits.
You better catch it.
Yeah, the grade school greatest hits. And then, see, this should have told you what I was going to grow up, you know, what my job was going to be. Then I would do, we would call, and I would do funny voices on the phone. I would do character voices to the teachers. And we just thought we were hilarious until...
You got caught.
We were bragging the next day.
Oh, no.
That was the problem. There were like three or four of us that were the ringleaders of this telephonic mess. And then we were bragging to other people, and somebody squealed on us. And, oh, boy, did...
Ooh.
do we get in trouble for that?
Imagine that. That was back in the day when people actually answered the phone without knowing who was calling.
Right. Right. You didn't. You couldn't see that it was coming from
my
house.
That's right. There was no caller ID.
Yep. And we had to go to the full trouble of actually dialing the phone, not pushing buttons.
Right.
So that was exhausting also. So yesterday, I had... It was the best of times and the worst of times for me. I was in the Mexican Independence Day Parade. WGN-TV had a float. And we had the greatest time. That is such a wonderful parade. Families, smiles, the smells of great food being cooked, you know, prepared on 26th Street as you went down the street, and just a wonderful, wonderful, joyous day. It was great. And then, Shwani, these caravans last night. I made the mistake of going out to dinner last night, and I didn't think I would be. It's like, oh, that couldn't possibly be affected. Every off-ramp leading into downtown was closed by the police. And but the streets were just packed.
Sure.
With the people blowing their horns and disrupting traffic. And
my neighborhood was...
I can imagine.
In the middle of the day yesterday.
Yeah, your caravan central.
It was caravan central, yes. Yeah. No, I fully... I can empathize.
It was unbelievable how one part of my day was a beautiful, joyous celebration of ethnic pride, and the other part was the most idiotic, absolute opposite of a celebration of just disrupting, and inconveniencing people, trying to get home, trying to, go to, wherever. Because every street was closed everywhere. The police had shut down all the streets. And, the cars were going wild. And I heard you had a story in your newscast that there was it a shooting or stabbing?
And it was early this morning on North State. But,
it's crazy.
Directly, I imagine, the people were among those that were out celebrating. Yeah. But there was a fight that broke out around the 300 block of North State. Yep. Two people got stabbed, and a police officer had some hand injuries. Yep. So that's the extent of what we know, and we still don't know how many people may have been arrested overnight.
When I was trying to get home, amidst all this madness of, cars that were honking their horns and all, really just disrupting traffic for everybody else, I don't understand how that equals some kind of celebration for... Mexican independence. I don't understand how those two things don't make sense to me. We're going to go disrupt everybody else. That doesn't make sense. But, maybe it's just, a few people causing a bigger problem and probably not representative of the greater community.
Right.
But, you could see the tempers were flaring and things were being hurled out of cars. And I was like, oh, my, get me out of here. Mm. Crazy.
I was worried about an ambulance trying to get through.
Right.
What do you do?
There's no way that an emergency vehicle could have gotten through this mess that was going on last night. And I was trying to think. I remember, was it the World Series when the Cubs were in the World Series? They shut all the exits into downtown. I was trying to remember which celebration it was.
Yeah, but that was one of them.
It's just... It's the best of times and a beautiful celebration, and you feel this warmth and very family welcoming feeling. And on this other side, it's like, what
happened
this?
Here? Yeah,
what is this? This does not make any sense. So, one of the many things in life that I do not understand. I do understand, though, that we will get to a far-flung forecast. Our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. And now I will write on the board 500 times, here's Dave Schwann, here's Dave Schwann.
And leave the gum on your nose when you do it.
Here's Dave Schwann.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much, Dean. And folks, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices.
I like when you say folks.
Folks. Get out. Yep.
Sounds very warm.
Well, that's because...
It actually sounds like you care.
I do. I do. And you're going to love this. You're going to love this.
Nobody pretends caring better than Schwani.
You're going to love where we are headed today.
Okay.
We're staying in Iowa, headed to the town of What Cheer.
Huh?
Again, he makes up the names of the towns.
What Cheer. What two cheer? Words. It's two words. What, W-H-A-T,
okay.
And cheer. Not, you know, it's not like what cheer. It's two words. What, W-H-A-T, and cheer, C-H-E-E-R.
Huh.
It's about 2 hours west of Davenport. It was founded in 1865. Its population in 1880 was 3,246. It is now down to 607.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
It was a coal mining town in the 19th and 20th centuries. Now, why was it named What Cheer?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That is actually an ancient English greeting, and some of the English and Scottish people that first settled the area came there. Greeting was What Cheer with you, meaning, how nice to see you, or you know, you're very cheerful.
Like, what's up?
Right, exactly.
What's up?
But What Cheer was chosen for the town after Petersburg, which was the original name of the town, was rejected by the post office. So What Cheer, Iowa has a very cheerful, sunny and 61 degrees this morning.
9:37, this rainy Sunday morning. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN with our friend, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you today?
Good morning, Dean. You know, 58 and rainy, it's a little chilly today.
So. Yeah, it's, welcome to, dare I say the word, autumn.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to admit that it was here, but it's even though I guess it's going to be nice this coming week. It's definitely very fall like out today. So there's a bunch of things I want to get here to today, but let's start off with this new COVID vaccine because the FDA and the CDC both approved it this past week for anyone over the age of 6. Who should be taking it? Is it available now? Can you just walk into a drugstore and get it? Give us all the details we need to know about this.
Yeah, you pretty covered quite a bit of it right there. It is available now, so you can get it at Walgreens, CVS. Go in. You don't need an appointment. You don't need an order from a doctor. You can just get that shot. As far as who can get it, anybody over the age of 6 months and up. And it'll be very interesting to see who does get it. I think a lot of people feel that they have some immunity already. They've been infected. They've had some vaccines. And we're hearing about the cases being a little bit more mild. So certainly we hope that people do get it just to slow the transmission so that we don't have another big bump of it. But it's going to be very interesting to see who actually gets in line to get a shot in the arm this time around.
And the benefit of getting this new booster, this new vaccine, is what?
Well, the nice thing is that the new vaccine is actually a very close lineup to the COVID strain that's circulating right now. If you think about flu vaccines, we're guessing about 7 months before the flu season what the strain is going to be for influenza. And that's why in past years we've had efficacy rates of that vaccine at 25, 30, 40%. The COVID vaccine, however, that we're getting right now is very close to the strain that is going around. So it's certainly going to give you great protection.
Oh, boy, there goes our phone again. The phone, I don't know why this always seems to happen during Dr. Kevin Most's feature, his segment. I don't know if somebody just doesn't want to hear him talk about helping people get healthy. We'll get him back on the phone line, and because I want to learn more about this. You know what's really kind of my number one question with this? I mean, personally, I've always been pro-vaccine. I know some of you are not. I think most people are. They want to be as healthy as they possibly can. I think everyone needs to get it, but I want to make sure that we're clear on who should be getting it first. And let's try again here. Dr. Most, are you there?
I am, Dean. You know, the the Gremlins or Jack. One of them doesn't like me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty, I think Jack likes you. I think producer Jack does. He does like you. So I think it's either the Gremlins, who you may have kept in a waiting room a little too long, and they're finally getting their payback for this.
Getting back to the vaccine.
Yes.
You know, now that it is available, and like we said, 6 months all the way up to 12, or, you know, from 6 months on. And like I was saying, I don't know where I got cut off, but it's a very good match. So it is going to protect you from getting this virus or getting a bad case of it. So I would certainly recommend people to go and get it with the flu vaccine. Certainly we want to stop the spread. We want to protect those who are immunocompromised. Sometimes we get vaccines not only for our protection, but for those around us and for those that we might run into. So getting the vaccine and getting covered as much as we possibly can will minimize the number of cases and protect those immunocompromised individuals as well.
Now, what about the payment for this now? Because the government's no longer paying for vaccines. Are we going to foot the bill for this ourselves now?
Yeah, it's interesting the way you asked the question, too. We say the government is not paying. The government is still going to pay for Medicaid and Medicare recipients. So those patients are going to be covered by governmental fees.
Okay.
A lot of insurance companies are covering this. So certainly check with your insurance company. But the vast majority of them are going to cover it just as they do flu shots. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. You know, the insurance companies are fairly smart. They know if I give somebody a vaccine, it's going to stop me from paying for potentially a hospital visit or a doctor's office visit. So they're really looking at it from the economic side as well as the public health side to make these available. So hopefully we'll hear more about any insurance companies that are not covering it and to kind of give them some, you know, peer pressure to make sure that they do cover it.
Yeah, and we're getting into that time of the year where we're going to have more family get-togethers. People are going to be inside more. It's not a terrible idea just to protect yourself from, you know, protect you and protect your loved ones who are going to be around you. And it's not as fatal as it used to be. It's not like the early days of COVID. But who wants anything that resembles the flu? I don't.
You hit it right on the head there. If anybody has had the flu, true blown flu, with those temperatures of 102, 103, body aches, and you feel miserable for 10 days, after that, a lot of people say, I'm going to get a flu shot every year. The same with COVID. Many of us had COVID and, you know, did not feel well for a long period of time. So certainly the other concern is the long COVID risk is still there, even with these mild cases of COVID. So, you know, protecting yourself, protecting your family, and like you said, we're going to have a lot of gatherings here with Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas, a lot of holiday travel. And, you know, we always say, you know, don't get the shot the day before you travel. Don't get the shot the day before Thanksgiving, because we're talking about, you know, anywhere from 10 days to 14 days before it's fully effective. So really, making sure you're vaccinated by early to mid-October is probably key to your health.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, the amount of time until the vaccine becomes effective. 630 area code says, what's the minimum amount of time that I need to go on a cruise on October 8th? But if you're saying 10 days, you know, if you get your vaccine, you know, anywhere in the next couple of weeks, you'll be okay for October 8th.
Absolutely. Yep. And I would recommend that. You know, we've had, you know, some cruise ships just recently in the news where they've been stranded and they've had COVID cases that have kind of run through the cruise ship. We know that happened at the initial part of COVID. You're in close confines with people and the non-controlled environment. So I certainly would vaccinate anybody who's going to be going on a cruise here this fall.
Yeah, somebody on the text line says, I had a mammogram in late October. Can I get a COVID vaccine now? Are those two related, mammograms and COVID vaccines?
Yes, it's interesting, though. They have it reversed, right? They've already gotten their mammogram. Our concern with mammograms and COVID vaccines is that when you get the COVID vaccine, our body starts to make antibodies in lymph nodes. And when you get the shot in your arm, the lymph nodes that are close to your armpit are, you know, get inflamed because they're making antibodies. Well, when we do a mammogram, if we see inflamed lymph nodes, we get concerned, and it leads to other tests. But the plain lymph node is from the shot, not the mammogram. So this individual who already has the mammogram done, that's great. You can go ahead and get the shot. Okay. Anybody who has a scheduled mammogram, I would wait until after your mammogram or to give yourself probably 3 or 4 weeks to allow that to settle down so that we don't get a false positive mammogram due to the immune system causing the inflammation in the lymph nodes, which is exactly what we want with the shot.
Now, I wanted to just cover one other area before we run out of time, and that is the story that came out this week about very common decongestants that people purchase off the counter that are have been found to be ineffective as oral cold medications. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so this is really interesting and really is going to potentially have a huge impact. If, in 2006, everybody remembers Sudafed. Well, Sudafed was pseudoephedrine. Pseudoephedrine was a great decongestant, but unfortunately people used it and they could manipulate it to make methamphetamine. So what the government did, or what we did, said, hey, you know what, we're going to control the sales of that. It's still over-the-counter, but you have to go to the pharmacist, you have to get registered, logged to see how much you're buying so that you know you're using it for your personal use and not for drug manufacturing. So what happened back in 2006 is they said, oh, we know that phenylephrine, which is a nasal spray decongestant, works great. Let's put it in the pill form, and boom, 250 products, $2 billion. Well, what they found out over the past 10 years is phenylephrine, when taken in a pill form, breaks down in the stomach. A very small portion of it gets absorbed, and it does not work as a decongestant. Mm. So now the FDA knows that, and now they're going to have to make a big decision here if they pull all those medications and say, take them out. You're going to have empty shelves because now they're going to have to figure out another decongestant, or they're just going to have to take that out of the NyQuil and the Tylenol, PSE, and all of those drugs right now.
Is phenylephrine in most all decongestants now?
Almost every one of them.
Almost every one. Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So what do you suggest as we get into cold season now and, you know, people are in need of that? What do you suggest that they do?
Yeah, the true people who need the decongestant, go ahead and talk to your pharmacist and get the true Sudafed. It's still available.
Okay.
You just have to, like I said, get logged for it. It's not going to be the ease of just walking down the aisle and picking a brightly colored box that looks cool and is on sale that week. You know, this is going to take a little bit of thought as far as how you're going to treat the symptoms that you actually have.
Yeah. We'll talk again next week and get more. Dr. Kevin Most is the chief executive officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Stay dry today, Kev. Thank you so much.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
In our next hour, my one-on-one interview that I did this week with Lin-Manuel Miranda, the original star and the creator of Hamilton, the musical, which has reopened in Chicago. It played here for 3 years and now is back until the end of the year. The day after Hamilton closed in Chicago back in 2020 on our WGN-TV morning news, we talked with its star, Miguel Cervantes, who now is starring in the same role as Alexander Hamilton on Broadway, by the way. But just a great guy, super talented. And the morning after this very emotional run for him, he talked with us at WGN.
I mean, I've done two shows plenty of times, and I was not as tired as doing one yesterday.
Wow.
The response from the audience, the energy, I think it, you know, you can understand why rock and roll stars get a little burnt out, because it was just so electric. You could feel the love and the energy coming from the audience. And I, you know, it's something like you can't describe, you can't prepare for. And, you know, the end of a journey like this, it's indescribable.
So why did you answer your phone this morning?
Right, exactly.
Because he loves us, Larry.
Listen, I'm still an old guy. Yeah. We shut it down a little early last night.
But coming into a show like this, everyone knew It was such a big hit on Broadway. A lot of pressure taking over that role when you came to Chicago. And you, they usually switch people out. They kept you the whole time. I saw you. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's got to be unbelievable.
You know, we talked about this at the beginning. You know, they let me be who I wanted to be on that stage. They let me create the Hamilton that I wanted to be and who I was. I'm a different person than Lynn and any of the other Hamiltons you see. And the energy that we created on that stage, it just kept going, and the new people would come in and go, and the energy kept going. And I was just telling, you know, Dean earlier, it never felt like it was old. It never felt like 3.5 years.
And the ultimate compliment for you now, I mean, you were going to take some time off after this show was going to close here in Chicago anyway, but some news came in that you are going to continue as Alexander Hamilton in New York on Broadway.
Yeah.
You are taking over the main show with this.
You know, I started on the first one I started before Chicago. I got to do 4 performances with some of the original company, and that was an amazing sort of beginning. And then now we've created this beautiful Chicago sort of bubble that we created this show. And now I get to sort of take our energy, a little bit of our Chicago fire, and move it over to New York and be able to do what I do there, and hopefully give a little bit of that Chicago love to the Broadway company that we've
got. Plenty of actors come to town and they perform here for a little while, and you know, they give us the usual, "Oh, I love Chicago. It's love your pizza." But you have really embraced Chicago. I mean, you really have become part of the city here.
Yeah.
What does Chicago mean to you?
We got here without an idea of what it was going to be like, our life was going to be here. Immediately we decided that we loved it, and immediately we decided that we were going to be here for as long as we could. And, you know, my son is in school, and we've met so many people that have supported us. You know, Hamilton is one thing, but, you know, the struggles that we've gone through as a family with my daughter and all of the sort of, you know, difficulties that have come throughout these last 3 years, we got a lot of love and support from our home, from the people here,
from
and the family that we found.
Yeah, Miguel and his wife Kelsey endured the worst loss of all. Their little daughter that he was referring to passed away while he was here from a very rare form of epilepsy. They continue to work in the world of childhood diseases, and we'll talk more about that in coming weeks. In the meantime, Hamilton is back open, this time at the Nederlander Theater. An actor named Pierre-Jean Gonzalez is now in the starring role. And as I had mentioned, we talked one-on-one with the creator of it all, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who talks about what Chicago means to Hamilton and vice versa. That's coming up in the next hour.
I was checking the radar here, Schwanee.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Oh, you said earlier you'd like to do funny voices when
I was checking our WGN weather app, by golly. And it looks like the rain is going to push out of here by... Oh, about 4:30, 4:35 o'clock, somewhere around there.
Well, you know what else, Tom? We just now have...
Dean. My name's Dean.
Oh, sorry, Dean.
My name's Dean. This is just how I talk now.
On a legitimate note.
Yeah, you know, because you can put this radar into motion, and it shows you there's a big chunk of rain over the area now. But you put it into motion, and it tells you what time of the day the rain is going to be gone. Isn't that something? Let me show you some pictures that people sent me. Here's a seagull. Here's a picture of a seagull.
As my ninth grade social studies teacher said, you take your books and go out in the hall and keep the gum on your nose.
Oh, my God. And sit cross-legged and facing the wall.
Yes. Hold your arms out.
The radar is cool, though, because this is how I...
What else do you have pictures of in there?
That I can set into motion?
Oh, Lord.
I'll show you later. I'll show you when Hampton will be here on the air.
Okay.
I'll give you something to yell about. what was I going to say? Fortunately, because the rain's going to be out of here around 4 or 5 o'clock. That's when I'm going to be up in Highland Park hanging out with Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins.
Nice. Tonight. Oh, cool.
They are recreating a Tower Records in-store appearance that they did.
Oh.
30 years ago. Remember, Uncle Dean, what's Tower Records?
Oh.
What's a record?
Like the one they did, the one at, on Belden?
It was on Belden, Clark and Belden.
That was a great store.
That was a fantastic store. And 30 years ago, they had a new album then that had just come out called Siamese Dream, which was kind of their breakthrough album. And they did an in-store appearance playing that album acoustically. And they are going to recreate that at Billy's tea shop that he has in Highland Park called Madame Zuzu's. And they're going to recreate that concert. So you can go to that concert. You got to get tickets first. So go on their website for all that. But I'm going to be up there with the Channel 9 cameras, and we're going to show it to you on television.
That is wonderful. Tower Records. Oh. And, of course, those of us of a certain age remember Rose Records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hegwisch Records.
Hegwisch. Oh, yes.
Lowry's Records and Tapes.
Lowry's, of course, yeah.
And I think Rolling Stone Records is still there, isn't it? By Harlem and Irving.
And Norris, yeah.
Oh, over there, yeah.
Sam Goody.
I've been so busy with my radar, I haven't really had a chance.
Up above, dancing in the rain.
The sun's in my heart.
Look like a soaked rat, a soaked bald rat.
Let the storm and clouds chase.
And we just had an update, by the way, Dean, from the National Weather Service. This flash flood warning now includes Lake County, Illinois.
Oh, boy.
Until 2 o'clock. So it's Cook, Lake, and DuPage. Flash flood warning until 2. And the rain is starting to move out. Should be out entirely by later this afternoon.
Yeah, if you take a look at that WGN weather app, it's got the live radar there. You can see exactly.
Told you to stay in the hall.
The flooding in the streets is terrible. And I'm sure, you know, places that normally flood out are, you know, streets and things like that are probably a mess. Keep an eye on your basements and, you know, for any kind of flooding that you may have in the house, because it was a deluge earlier this morning. So the news has come out on the labor show that's on right before ours at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. They were talking about the writer's strike, the actor's strike. And they were talking about Drew Barrymore in particular, and they trashed her pretty good on the show this morning about making the decision to go back into production and continue doing her show, even though the writer's strike has not been settled yet. Drew Barrymore and other shows, Bill Maher, Jennifer Hudson, The Talk, several of the shows have said they're going back into production, regardless whether the strike is settled or not. But an interesting turn of events with this just happened this morning, where Drew Barrymore posted that she has reversed her decision. And this is the post. She says, "I've listened to everyone, and I'm making the decision to pause the show's premiere until the strike is over." In other words, well, she said before that she was going to go ahead and do it anyway. Now she's saying she's going to not do anything until the strike is over. Continuing, "I have no words to express my deepest apologies to anyone that I've hurt, and of course to our incredible team who works on the show and have made it what it is today. We really tried to find our way forward, and I truly hope for a resolution for the entire industry very soon." So that, it's a very interesting turn of events. After she said that she was going to go ahead and do the show, now she's she took an absolute beating online. Online, the labor show, of course, the workers' show that was on, that's on right before ours every Sunday morning. They really gave it to her this morning. So she obviously, you know, listened to what everyone was saying, and has decided to keep her show on hold until the strike is over with. So we'll keep you posted on all the latest with that. Interesting. I was on assignment this week. I was at the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. You know, Ringling Brothers shut down the circus 5 years ago, something like that. They were taking a lot of heat over the use of animals and what a lot of people said was cruelty to animals. And people were not going to the circus anymore. The Ringling Brothers, the greatest show on earth, people stopped going. So Ringling Brothers shut it all down. This great American tradition closed. And now they have revamped it all without animals. And I went there to get a first look at it. I interviewed some of the people who are responsible, some of the performers. I'll be doing some stories on TV about it in the next couple of weeks. But just to give you the first word on this, I actually enjoyed the new, it's called Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, The Greatest Show on Earth. And it is just nonstop action. No animals involved at all. Lots of acrobats, lots of, you know, feats of human endeavor. Some acts that you have seen before, some acts that you have never seen before. I would say that it's Cirque du Soleil-like, but Cirque du Soleil likes to tell a story while they do their show, and this is really just performance, one performance after another. In many cases, several performances all going on at the same time. Instead of the traditional three rings like the circus has always had, now they have platforms of different heights throughout the arena, and often, you know, where there would be acrobats, say, for example, there are acrobats on all the different platforms. So you don't exactly know where to look. There's so much going on. I mean, it's kind of a sensory overload, you know, as they, you know, try to redefine what circus is. The traditional clowns that you would see at circuses are no longer there. They have what they call comedic characters, but the clown with the painted face and the red nose and, you know, the funny hats and, you know, all that sort of thing, the very traditional looking clowns not involved in the show anymore. Ringmaster. There are no rings, so there's no ringmaster anymore. They have sort of hosts of the show that guide you from performance to performance. They're also singers and performers themselves. But the traditional ringmaster is no longer there. I posted some pictures on my social media, and you know, a lot of people said they're glad to see the animals gone. They always felt so bad when they went to the circus and they saw the animals, you know, caged and, you know, doing tricks and dancing and, you know, this and that. A lot of people felt sorry for the animals. A lot of people said, you know, the circus isn't going to be the same without the animals. So, you know, everyone's going to have their own opinion about the whole thing. I went to look to see what kind of, I went to get a first look to see what it was about so I could tell you about it. And I sat through a show, you know, they're still in rehearsal, so it's going to change ever so slightly from what I saw. But it was a very entertaining show, I have to say. I didn't miss the animals. I kind of fell into the camp of, I felt bad for the animals. So, I mean, I know a lot of people felt that way. A lot of people felt differently. It's entirely up to you, how you feel about it, of course. I didn't feel like I was missing anything. I just felt like something is going on everywhere in this arena at any given time, whether it's acrobats, whether it's incredible high wire acts, balancing acts. They have some terrific acts with bicycles. You know how you see kids on bikes on ramps and, you know, going upside down, and you see that in certain places. They have those kinds of acts, which are spectacular to see. They have some, I don't know how to explain it exactly. It's like flamenco dancers, but it's like extreme flamenco dancers doing things like you've never seen before. It's a very entertaining show, and it's going to be out at the Allstate Arena November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I believe, one weekend only in Chicago. So if you're interested, you can go check it out. And as I said, I'm going to be doing some more stories on the new Ringling Brothers on WGN television over the next couple of weeks, and we'll bring some of those interviews to you here so you can get a better idea of what this, great American tradition, which has evolved and changed. And, as they explain it, the circus has always evolved and changed from what it was, when it first came out to what it was when we were kids and we grew up going to the circus, to what it became over the last few years before it closed down. And now it's entered a new era that is definitely geared toward younger people. Oh, I forgot to mention, there is a lot of digital elements, electronic and digital elements, which are also involved in the circus as well. So it's definitely geared toward a younger audience. I think your kids or your grandkids probably will really enjoy this show. I'll be telling you much more soon. When we come back from the break, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the original star and the creator of Hamilton the Musical, sits down with me one-on-one to talk about the return of Hamilton to Chicago. I just wanted to mention, because you have the story in your newscast about some people being stabbed
yes,
part of the Mexican.
On North State Street early this morning. Yeah.
And, the negativity that goes with that is balanced. As I mentioned to you earlier, yesterday I was in the Mexican Independence Day Parade. WGN-TV had a float in it, and I was on it along with Dan Ponce and Lourdes Duarte and Andrea Medina and Ray Cortopassi. We had the nicest time, and really it was just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful celebration of family and friends, and it couldn't have been nicer. And as I said to you earlier, it was like yesterday for me was like the best of times. And then later I went to dinner in Greektown and tried to get in there with those caravans that were out there.
Yeah, and they were out.
It doesn't make one bit of sense to me. So it was like the best of the celebration and the worst of celebration is carloads of people were jamming the streets, shutting everything down. I don't see what that has to do with celebrating your ethnicity, your ethnic pride, Mexican independence. Disrupting everybody else, that doesn't make sense to me.
I saw it start actually Friday afternoon, early evening, in the Loop South Loop area there. And then yesterday, as I mentioned, things really started to pick up and quite a traffic jam around Michigan and Roosevelt.
Right, right. But I just wanted to mention as the counterpoint, with all that madness, it was extremely inconvenient for everybody. But I felt bad for the businesses. The restaurants that are trying to stay open in these difficult times, and now people can't even get anywhere near the restaurants.
And try to accommodate all the crowds in the areas as well.
Well, the restaurants were empty. Nobody was able to even get
to go
near
in.
Them. Yeah. The streets were jammed with cars and, such. But what about all these businesses that are trying to stay open, trying to feed their employees, pay their salaries and trying to, it doesn't make any sense to me. So the great part was it was a beautiful celebration early in the day, and I'll know to stay home next year. I'll stay in my cave next year. 10:40, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. One of the signature songs from the Grammy Award-winning, 11-time Tony Award-winning, and Pulitzer Prize-winning musical, Hamilton. written, created by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who starred in the lead role on Broadway as Alexander Hamilton himself. The show has, after it opened on Broadway, the first city that it came to after that was Chicago, where it ran for 3 years to virtually sold out houses every single night. The show finally closed, and now Hamilton is back again. It'll be here with us until the end of the year, until December 30th at the Niederlander Theater on West Randolph Street. On Thursday, I sat down with Lin-Manuel when he was here in Chicago, and we talked about the return of Hamilton to Chicago and the special relationship between our city and his show. Chicago is such a special place for you and Hamilton. In what way, do you think?
Well, you know, Chicago was where we launched our second company with the incredible Miguel Cervantes and Josh Henry and that amazing cast. And it was such a joy to see the way Chicago embraced the show. But not just the show, the cast members. You know, we sat here for nearly 3 years, I think, and it was remarkable. It was, you know, I'd be back home in New York and I'd see the cast of Hamilton screaming at a Cubs game, and they really became part of the fabric of the town. And listen, we're all coming back from the pandemic. Theater's hurting, you know. Theater's hurting in New York. Theater's hurting in Chicago. And so I'm really excited for this new company that has been all over the country. They're coming from Alaska to get to sit down in Chicago and feel that embrace that only Chicago gives. And you know, for Chicagoans to come see Hamilton again, I'm really excited about that.
Did you think that the show would run for 3+ years here? Did you?
I hoped we'd squeeze out 2 years with school groups. Yeah. You know, all anyone knew about our show was it was about the guy in the $10 bill. And I thought social studies teachers would take a chance. Yeah. They might hear there was profanity and not bring the kids. And that was really about as far ahead as, you know, if you go in with a strategy, you're going to lose when it comes to inspiration. But it's just remarkable how everyone finds an on-ramp into this show, whether Burr's storyline resonates with them, or Eliza's storyline resonates with them, or just the wordplay resonates with them. I can't tell you how many parents I talk to who say, my kid who was having speech issues memorized the soundtrack because it was something to latch onto. It was a project to work on. It was a way to sing about things that they maybe wouldn't express. It's remarkable how many people have found their way into it.
Yeah, that's so interesting that that kind of conversation with my viewers and listeners is starting again. That's all I did for 3 years was answer questions about Hamilton and you know, things like that. And people were saying, my kids know every single word. They can't wait to see the show. And then the show closed and it died down. And just the last 2 weeks since we've been talking about Hamilton coming back, same thing.
Yeah.
It's
well, another extraordinary thing happened, which was that, you know, the show was available for everyone to watch on streaming. And so there's also like a generation of fans who have never had the chance to see it live. And, you know, I was talking to someone earlier about how Taylor Swift and Beyonce have been our greatest theater ambassadors this summer. They've reminded us of the joy of a communal experience with our loved ones. I've been to both those concerts. I went to Miami to go see Beyonce for my wife's birthday. And there's really nothing like it. There's nothing like gathering in the dark and hearing songs you love with the people you love.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to be able to bring the show back to Chicago.
Yeah, the communal experience. There truly is nothing like it. Why do you think Chicago has grabbed onto the show in a way that it rarely grabs onto any show?
I don't know. I don't live here. I do know that I'm really proud of that because I grew up in awe of Chicago as a theater town, of the Steppenwolves and the incredible actors and writers that came out of Chicago. You know, that's legend. That's theater legend. You learn about that in college. You learn about that when you're studying to be a theater major. So I remember just hoping that Chicago would embrace the show because, you know, it's famous for its rigor and it's famous for being a really smart, discerning audience.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled by the embrace, and I'm thrilled that, you know, the show can come back at a time that I think everyone needs to be rediscovering their theater habit again.
Yeah. I've talked to so many producers and directors and performers. The one that really sticks out in my mind is Mel Brooks, when he brought the producers here first, before it went to Broadway. And he talked about how Chicago theater goers, they know crap when they see it.
Yeah.
And if anybody will cut through it all, it'll be a Chicago theater goer to see it. So I think that speaks highly of his show, of your show, of Wicked.
There's a reason things try out here.
Yeah,
I mean, because you guys are really smart and you guys are really passionate. And that's what we want in our audiences.
Yeah. And that's really what we need right now, right? To get people back into theaters. I know the Public Theater in New York has had some big cutbacks.
There's been cuts everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
We've had huge cutbacks at many theater companies. Strong, vibrant, long-running theater companies here.
Yeah.
Same thing. Is it shows like Hamilton that will bring people back in? Is that the key to this,
I think that's one component. You know, I think that it's great that a show that has a passionate fan base like Hamilton, like Wicked, like Lion King, you know, that folks show up for those experiences. I also, you know, the other exciting thing about Chicago is you guys take chances on new stuff. I know that I think The Notebook was here. Like, there's really exciting stuff that gets to start here. And I would encourage audiences to, like, wear that with pride. Like, you guys get to see stuff before New York does. And you know, that's an enormous source of pride. And just, you know, it's going to take a minute for that habit to come back. You know, we were all home for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just important for the lifeblood of our industry.
Yeah. The other question that I get all the time now, besides when is Hamilton going to be here and my kids know the words and blah, 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 when is Lin going to do something on stage again?
Mm.
Either him physically on stage or something like you've given us.
Oh,
like,
I have no
like
plans
Hamilton.
To be physically on stage. I will tell you that.
Are you done with that? Really?
I think so. Really? Yeah. I just listen. It's interesting because I started writing because I wanted to be an actor and get a life in this business. I have a life in this business now. Like, I'm good, and I think that, especially since Stephen Sondheim's passing, like the piano has called me back in a big way. I just you look at his extraordinary legacy and how no two shows were the same. I look at my friend John Kander, who is 96 years old, and I had the privilege of writing alongside him, and the energy he still brings to that piano and the 16 Broadway shows he has written. And in addition to the incredible off-Broadway late inning, you know, shows he's written that are all extraordinary. You know, I want to be in that club. When I look back, I want to really have a lot of different shows that talk to each other and are in conversation with each other.
Well, so will that be the Warriors? I mean, that's all the talk on the internet.
That is the rumor. It's a good rumor.
Yeah.
I really like that movie, but it's just a rumor.
I can see how you could adapt that really well.
It's a great movie, but it is just a rumor.
Just a rumor now. Okay, so nothing else is... Are you working on something and it's secret? Or
I'm just writing... Yeah, I'm writing my next stuff.
Okay.
It is secret. And I also like have a wife that is like returned to the workforce, so I'm also just home making sandwiches and picking up my kids from the bus.
How old are your kids now?
Well, my son was one when we came here.
Yeah, okay.
And now he's 8, and he's got a 5-year-old little brother. They're in kindergarten and fourth grade. So that's the other wild thing with Hamilton is I can measure these lives by it.
Right.
You know, my son was born 2 weeks before rehearsal started at the Public.
Wow.
So it's also this really funny legacy. I took the 5-year-old for his birthday to see the show for the first time, and Dear Theodosia started, and he said, "What the heck? That's from this?" Because my wife had been singing it to him as his lullaby every night. It was just his lullaby.
Yeah.
He didn't know it was from Hamilton.
Right.
So it's been a fascinating marker of our lives.
One of the other things that's kind of changed is the world. When you gave your famous "Love is love is love is love" speech, the world was sort of with you on that. And it just feels like things have changed. And "love is love is love almost feels like it's under attack.
Well, listen, it's important to remember the context of that, which was the within 24 hours of the worst shooting massacre in our nation's history.
No.
That was not meant as everything's sunshine and roses. That was an incantation against an act of hate we had seen against the LGBTQ community, most of whom were Puerto Rican young men who meant to go home that night. So that darkness is always there. You know, it's people ask about the relevance of Hamilton. Like, everyone dies by gun violence in this show. That is one of the original sins of our country. We continue to die by gun violence. That threat is still so scary and sadly still such an everyday part of our lives.
Lin-Manuel Miranda talking with me just this past Thursday. He was here for a big event at the National Puerto Rican Museum that is in Humboldt Park, at which Ricky Martin, singer Ricky Martin, was honored. Lin-Manuel introduced Ricky Martin at that event, and also stopped by the Nederlander Theater to talk to the new cast of Hamilton. As I mentioned, back in Chicago, it's now open, and everybody is enjoying it. They're saying that it has not lost any of its impact. It's still being beautifully performed. The new lead actor is Alexander Hamilton now, is Pierre-Jean Gonzalez. We'll be, I'm sure, having him on the show here in the next couple of weeks, playing through the end of the year. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get more info. Our Week in Theater segment, sponsored by Chicago Symphony Orchestra.